May my words be in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I pride myself on having a fair measure of common sense, which is why recently I was more than a little shocked at my reaction when I lost my house keys. At first I did all the sensible things. I sat down and envisaged the last time I'd had them in my hand, and then retraced my movements, searching rooms I'd been in, recreating journeys around the garden, searching the car, although it hadn't been driven for days, emptying the wheelie bins, and that was a messy job. But it was all to no avail. Was that the beginning of panic I was feeling? I sent up numerous arrow prayers. I asked for prayers from a friend on WhatsApp. I enlisted the prayer help of the family through our family WhatsApp. A day and a sleepless night passed, and in the cold light of morning I took myself in hand and told myself, "It's only a bunch of keys. And anyway, you have duplicates." But somehow common sense seemed to have vanished. I found myself meticulously searching, even in rooms I hadn't entered for over a week. Eventually, I re-entered the garage with a powerful torch. Starting from one end, I set out on the principle that as I'd searched all the possible places, now was the time to search the impossible ones. I came upon a large cardboard box on the floor, and not knowing what was in it, I opened the lid. There, among some pots and containers, were my keys. You know, I still can't understand exactly how they came to be there. Then I did recall that I had carried that box from the house to the garage about 2 days before. What I thoroughly understood was the joy of the woman who searched for her lost coin and had to let everyone know that what was lost had been found. At this point, my common sense reasserted itself, which is why my keys now hang from a lanyard and are often around my neck, as are my glasses. The dictionary definition of common sense is good sense and sound judgment in practical matters. Another definition is the skill to live life practically. Now, you can say that's wisdom, and certainly it draws on wisdom and functions through the power of wisdom. But it is practical wisdom, exercised in the reality of everyday life. I was really quite amused by this anecdote which I came across recently. In a trial in a small southern town in the United States, the prosecuting attorney called his first witness, a grandmotherly elderly woman, to the stand. He approached her and asked, "Mrs. Jones, do you know me?" She responded, "Why, yes, I do know you, Mr. Williams. I've known you since you were a boy, and frankly, you've been a big disappointment to me. You lie, you cheat on your wife, and you manipulate people and talk about them behind their backs. You think you're a big shot, when you haven't the brains to realise you'll never amount to anything more than a two-bit paper pusher. Yes, I know you." The lawyer was stunned. Not knowing what else to do, he pointed across the room and asked, "Mrs. Jones, do you know the defence attorney?" She again replied, "Why, yes, I do. I've known Mr. Bradley since he was a youngster too. He's lazy, bigoted, and he has a drinking problem. He can't build a normal relationship with anyone, and his law practice is one of the worst in the state. Not to mention, he cheated on his wife with three different women. One of them was your wife, Yes, I know him. The defense attorney nearly expired. The judge asked both counselors to approach the bench and in a very quiet voice said, "If either of you idiots asked her if she knows me, I'll sentence you both to life." Does the notion of common sense really have anything to do with being a Christian? In our gospel reading for today, we heard Jesus praying for his disciples shortly before he was crucified. In the course of this prayer, Jesus addresses his Father. "I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." Jesus' prayer for his disciples makes it very clear that although citizens of the heavenly kingdom, his followers have to live their lives in a fallen and sinful world. We cannot be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. When you find yourself in a boat which is filling with water and on the point of sinking, you are certainly wise to pray to God for safe deliverance, but you're equally wise to grab a bowl and bail like mad. As John Stott says, "God's promises of guidance were not given to save us the problem of thinking." So I turn now to our reading from the book of Proverbs. In life, Christians continually allow themselves to be influenced by human wisdom and experience. The book of Proverbs offers some guidance on how and how not to go about it. It urges that practical principles, for example, in education, in business, in family life, are formed in the context of religious and moral considerations, not independently. So in a way, it says both yes and no, or yes but, to what we learn from the world. This is encapsulated in verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Fear, as it is used here, expresses reverence and awe, and does not imply being afraid of God. John Goldingay, in his commentary on this verse, says this: "Proverbs assumes that you cannot make sense of the world or live a full and successful life unless you see God behind it and involved in it, and seek understanding of it from God with reverence and humility." If we are going to be able to live life to the full in a way that glorifies God every day, we need common sense, and lots of it. I truly believe that it is a God-given gift available to each of us if we but search for it. If we look at Jesus, he mastered this gift in his everyday living. In chapter 14 of Luke's Gospel, Jesus had healed a man on the Sabbath day, arousing the anger of a hostile crowd because they said it violated the Sabbath day of rest. In response, Jesus asks, "If one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, Will you not immediately pull him out? And the crowd had nothing to say. On another occasion, in Matthew 22, verse 21, the Pharisees had been seeking to trap Jesus and challenged him about paying taxes to Caesar. When, at Jesus' request, they showed him the coin used to pay the tax, it bore the likeness of Caesar. And then he said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." Our common sense, or lack of it, is evident in the choices we make in everyday life. The failure to exercise it can have devastating effects. Who can ever forget the distress of the nurse at the end of a physically and emotionally exhausting day caring for victims of the coronavirus, on finding the shelves of her local supermarket stripped bare of essential goods by rampant panic buying? Our lives are full of choices to be made every day. How do we make wise decisions? Well, I found a little book by Margaret Silf, a great resource. Here it is. It is called On Making Choices and gives a few simple tools, not rules, which combine the wisdom of ancient spiritual traditions with the common sense of the 21st century. It concludes with 10 commandments for living true. And number 5 is this: listen to the wisdom of your personal roots and of the wisdom figures in your life. Listen to the wisdom of your personal roots and of the wisdom figures in your life. The first and foremost wisdom figure in the lives of Christians is God Himself, revealed in Jesus Christ and present with us today in the person of the Holy Spirit. I began with the phrase, "I pride myself on having a fair measure of common sense." The temptation is that I conduct my life on the basis of my learning, my reasoning, my judgment, albeit allowing that I believe and trust in God. The danger in so doing is that I limit God to what I can explain and understand. Now, the whole of this sermon series is an antidote to that frame of mind as we explore the wonders of our Creator, Saviour and Lord. Truly, as Proverbs 1 verse 7 reads in the Message, "Start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God." Let us pray. Mighty and mysterious God, give us wisdom to know you, intelligence to understand you better, perception to grasp your will, and discernment to follow you faithfully. Protect, provide, instruct, direct, so that even in life's darkest moments, we may follow your way and respond to your guidance. Amen.